Hi, Goodvach. This is Yisachar Wartel, and we are now up to the descriptions of the Mishkan. That's right, we are up to Parshat Truma. So I just wanted to mention once again, Shir is sponsored Le'ilui Nishmat Chaya Rachel Bat David Tzvi. May her neshama have an aliyah. All right, let us start it. So in this week's Parsha, after mentioning the Aaron's dimensions, it speaks of covering it with gold and giving it a crowned border. So much to talk about. I'm going to be barely scratching the surface. But after this, the Torah writes to cast four rings, taba'ot, on four corners, which are called pa'amot, and insert them into two poles, which are called badim, on its two sides, which are called tzla'ot. I'm going to go on to explain all of those. Taba'ot, tet, bet, ayin, tav, shares the same root as teva, meaning nature. There's a teaching that rings are called such because they are round, symbolizing the circle of life and recurrence of patterns throughout nature and history. Now, it's actually interesting that in this particular case, these rings were actually square. Nevertheless, they were called taba'ot. That's a topic for another time. But in general, rings are round. So again, keeping that in mind, again, keeping the fact that surrounding also, there's other reasons why they share this root as well. But again, we're not going to cover all the possibilities. Now, the corners of the Aron are referred to as pa'amot, despite what the term pa'am usually means, which means occurrence or instance. So usually you would say, like, you know, katzot would be edges, or, you know, pina could be a corner. There's a lot of different words possibly for corner, but pa'amot is a weird one to choose. Additionally, the word bad, which does mean pole, can also refer to other items, including an olive press, it's also called a bad, or the very, very high linen, which we also see in next week's parasha for the priestly garments, big day bad. Another thing interesting is that the word tzela does seem more interesting, but there is differentiation between tzela and tzad, both mean side. Then we see two other main instances in which this root is used. When Hashem creates Chava from Adam's tzela, which literally means Adam's side, which we often translate as rib, but not necessarily. And when Yaakov is harmed, struggling with the Malach, where the term tzela is used when he limped or leaned to one side. Now, as the first part of the commandment is given to form the rings, this must be our starting point. We are often seeing the world as run by nature, as recurring and relatively predictable events, maybe less so recently, but in general, yes. These events are often pa'amot at one specific time or instance and can be looked at as isolated incidents, or they can be looked at as part of a larger picture. Into these natural moments in time are inserted these badim, these poles. What does that mean? The biliteral root of bet dalid literally means to isolate, such as levad, which means alone, or badel, which means to separate, among many other examples. And this also explains why the olive press is something that's used to extract or isolate the oil from the rest of the fruit. Also for the priestly garments, because it signified their uniqueness and how they were, in a sense, distinct from other people, servants. Our relationship with Hashem can exist in many different ways, but in basic simplicity, it can either be a direct relationship or it can be an indirect relationship. Obviously, Hashem wants us to interact with Him in as direct way as possible, but even in our casual relationships, we want to have Hashem in mind. Now, this is hinted to by the Kruvim, the cherubs, which are on top of the Aron, technically on Kaporet, on top of the Aron. And the Gemara explains famously that Bnei Yisrael, when they were deserving of a direct relationship with Hashem, which is the ideal, the Kruvim would face each other, creating a resting place for the Shekhinah. But when the Jews were not as deserving, the Kruvim would turn away from each other, indicating disfavor, but also, in a sense, shielding the Jewish people symbolically from divine wrath, as their wings now hovered over the Aron. It's interesting that, you know, nevertheless, Hashem still showed favor. It was just more indirect at this point. Hashem always shows favor, even if we're not deserving, because we're His children. Now, if the relation to Hashem was no longer from above, because it's now kind of deflected, kivyachol, in a sense, it was now present from the sides. For the glory of Hashem always fills this world, certainly fill the Shekhinah there. So even if we're not receiving Hashem's glory directly, we're always going to be receiving it indirectly. Now, the badim were inserted specifically at the sides of the Aron to remind us that although we may sometimes feel as badim, as lone people, right? We're alone. Sometimes we feel that nobody wants to be with us or whatever it might be, whatever we're suffering from. We're nevertheless, as human beings, but certainly as a Jewish people, we're intrinsically part of something so much larger. We're part of a kahal, an am, whatever word you want to use. And just as the badim could never be removed from the Aron once they were inserted, so too the Jewish people, and even the world as a whole, will never be alone or independent from God. But there are two badim, two poles, one on each side. For sometimes we feel alone, and sometimes we want to be alone. We don't always want the responsibility of acknowledging or obeying our Creator. So therefore, these badim are cast into taba'ot, which represent the natural order.
For often it seems as if the world is running on its own and it's just part of a natural cycle. What do I need it for, right? Why am I here, right? I'm just, you know, I'm, you know, it's like the, it's the, you know, we're getting close to the holiday of Purim, Chag Purim, but Amal extends for, you know, Mikra, you know, Suffolk, doubt, but it's really what happenstance. It's like, whatever, I'm just here, right? It's about Purim, right? It's going to cast lots. Whatever happens, happens. You know, so whatever, it happens in nature, you know, my molecules came together, it's part of evolution, just the procreation, my mother and father were involved, so it happened, they had to have a baby, so it was just me. No, it doesn't work like that. Hashem put you in this world. Hashem put your neshama in this world for a reason, in the particular body that you're in, the particular circumstances that you're in. It may seem like it's just part of the natural order, but it's anything but. And therefore, you're needed in this world. You're meant to have a crucial role in this world, whatever it might be. Now, it's interesting, that's alluded in the fact that the Aron carried itself. The Bidim were actually not even used. The Bidim were inserted. These poles were inserted into the Aron, but they weren't actually used because people couldn't carry the Aron with the poles. They were more symbolic because the Aron carried itself. They weren't even allowed to be touched. So what was their function? This is to remind us that Hashem is above nature and that nobody is truly alone. Right? We have many decisions to make in this world, and sometimes we must be distinct. Sometimes we need to separate ourselves. Sometimes we need to be with other people. There are rewards, there are consequences. And everything is part of one big picture, which we don't necessarily always see. Ultimately, it is Hashem who is running the world. But just as we cannot lift or change nature to any significant extent, certainly not single-handedly, we cannot change what is proper or decide that is in our power to decide how the world should be run. Rather, it should be done according to Torah values and according to the way of Hashem, so that we may walk in His side. Now, getting back to the concept of Tzela and Tzad, Tzad is, you know, just simply just like a surface on the side of something. But a tzela is more than that. It's something which has a significance to it that kind of goes across, right? So in the case of Yaakov's leg, it went all the way down his leg, the nerve that he limped on. In the case of, you know, as Adam's whole side, it had significance and it became, you know, Chava. And so too here, the two sides, you know, of the Aron are symbolized as the right and the left, or the borders or edges or the, you know, there's a lot of different things they could represent, or the finiteness of this world, you know, but even that doesn't have its limits. So there's a lot of different things that can represent, more than just, you know, okay, it's technically the lateral edge of something. So everything, you know, has a side. We can have Hashem walk by our side, in a sense, so we can merit to have His Shechina rest above us, right? Ideally, we want to have it as a direct relationship. But even if we are not up to the task, even if we commit a virus, obviously we could do teshuvah. But Hashem is always with us, and the Shechina can always rest on some level, even if it's around our sides. But the sides is still important. It's a tzela, not a tzad. And therefore, even if we are not able to do fully do teshuvah, or we don't act as well as we would like, we can still have a relationship with Hashem. Might not be as direct as we want, or we can repair it and make it a direct relationship. We can forge that and reunite and turn the kruvim towards each other, turns those wings where they're supposed to be, not as blocking the Shechina, but as a cradle for the Shechina. And that's what we can do. You know, may it be our merit to have the Shechina rest above us once again, b'mehera b'yameinu. And once again, I want to thank Isaac Kotlicki for helping make this Dvar happen. Shabbat Shalom.